All right, Justin, ready to record Thursday's episode?
Yeah. I guess we'll crack out the second half of this. And babe, sorry, my wife's here. Do I have time for another podcast?
No.
Sorry. I think I gotta go.
My life is actually pathetic. I have to sit here and listen to you talk about the Cavs.
Well, if you're busy, then Justin, I'll see if Gordon Hayward's free.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roan. We are back from the All-Star break, and we are back with a vengeance. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. Cavs won a game. Yeah. They've won like four out of their last like nine, which is basically like winning the title for this team.
We've officially flipped the switch. My God, I can't talk, but that's
what
fantastic.
Did you say before the podcast, before we started recording? That was really douchey because I forget what it was. I was gonna say like you followed up kombucha with this, but we just recorded part one with our New Orleans friends, and I was gonna call it out, but I can't remember now. What about you is douchey right now?
That's a great question. I really don't know. Like, you're assuming a level of self-awareness that I just do not possess.
I'm going to sit on this while you introduce our guests.
All right, perfect. As Carter alluded to, this is the second part of a two-part podcast, little Blue Wire crossover, little cross-promoting with the Bourbon Street Shots boys. Mason Ginsburg. Mason, how's it going today?
Going pretty well. Thanks for doing this collaborative effort with us, our first cross Blue Wire podcast.
Real collaborative talents, the lot of us. And also from Bourbon Street Shots is Shamit Dua. Shamit, how's it going, man?
Going well, man. How are you guys? I'm glad to be here. Didn't just talk to you guys 5
how
minutes
we are.
Ago.
I know it's awkward, but you know what? As a Canadian, let me get to my joke, Carter, for the love of God.
Get to my joke.
I was going to say, as a Canadian, like Tristan Thompson, I'm used to working with large groups and making everyone feel comfortable. So I wanted to reintroduce and reset for our audience.
That's nice. I was going to actually consider us just pretending like we were part one of the pod, you know, just like, yeah, and if you want to list a part two, you can go over there. Like, both of us can kind of, like, lay claim. Because functionally, all of our – I can't imagine our listeners cross-pollinate too much. So most of them are going to be, you know, already starting on each one's individual pod. So we probably could have gotten away with it.
And I also don't think anybody that's listening to either podcast and going to the other or – I don't think there's a right or wrong order. I don't think there's going to be any – well, I can't follow this. Where did they get to this point?
Like starting Game of Thrones in season 6.
And if they got that much time on their hands listening to both of these all the way through, that's probably other problems at play there.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start things off. We'll kind of make the transition a little smooth here. We'll still talk about the Pelicans. Either of you guys can feel free to jump in. Why did you let down Anthony Davis?
Well, you see, me personally, I let down Anthony Davis the moment I refused to purchase a Tim Frazier jersey. Now, Tim Frazier is Anthony Davis's boy. I don't know if you follow any of these guys on Instagram. You guys are you know, Cavs fans out there. You probably don't. Probably don't even know who Tim Frazier is, but Tim Frazier is a 5'10" point guard who accompanies Anthony Davis everywhere he goes. And if you follow Tim on Instagram, you know, he puts up videos of him and AD doing cute things. It's, you know, when they wanted to be here or when Anthony wanted to be here, it was very cute. You're like, oh, look, a bromance, you know, they're buddies. And now you're just like, why is this dude on my team? Because he's not even good at basketball. And but yeah, needless to say, because he's not good at basketball, I did not purchase his jersey, and therefore I let Anthony Davis down.
Now he's leaving you. I was just trying to think of, you know, kind of the angle we wanted to take here, and this conversational topic kind of spawned with my brother because he was kind of griping about all the player movement and all the demands out, and he looked for the league. And I was just thinking, like, well, okay, so he's going to request a trade. Is there any way to really do this anymore where it's like, you know, like Adam Silver talked about it, Rachel Nichols talked about it when Adam Silver talked about it, about, like, you know, what's the right way to ask out? Because I haven't quite figured out what the right way is, because we've spent so much time talking about how Rich Paul, like, epically fucked up, but I haven't 100% figured out what the alternative is that still serves his client and, you know, pisses off as few people as possible.
Yeah, I think the starting point, the reason that Bridges really burned, I'm not saying irreparably, but the reason they started burning was when you kind of when you end up pushing towards one team, and so it's a give and take, right? Because if you're trying to go to a certain team, you want them to give up as few assets as possible for you, so their team remains as good as possible. But at the same time, it's doing that pigeonholes the team that you've kind of built a rapport with and the fan base who supports you. And so that's the tricky part, I think. It's not necessarily the trade request, because the team's had plenty of time to build a winner around them, hasn't done it, but it's doing it. I don't know how to say doing it the right way. I think that's kind of bullshit, but just not kind of trying to drive your destination towards one specific location. I think that's kind of, I think, ballpark of.
May I play a little devil's advocate, Mason? Sure.
Go for it.
When they don't do that and teams give up, you know, their full complement and then suck, say the Knicks with Melo, we then clown Melo for that.
Clown Melo for that, or do we clown the Knicks for
we
that?
Clown both we, of them.
Yeah, they both take the L on that one, that's for sure.
I just don't know what works. I don't know the best way around this. And
I think Chris Paul handled it as about as perfectly as you could. So Chris Paul went about telling the Pelicans he is not going to sign an extension in free agency, right? He didn't make a public fuss about destinations, even though everyone knew he had preferred destinations. But him and his agent at every step, not unlike Anthony Davis, but just in a much more tactful manner, you know, they were like, we don't care if the Hornets want to trade us anywhere, that's great. We're open to a trade. And if they want to keep us, we want to keep playing. We want to be good. And that sounds an awful lot like what Anthony Davis is doing, but it really wasn't. They didn't, you know, they didn't make a mess in the media. They weren't going to Woj and Shams every 2 seconds. They weren't hopping on Rachel Nichols' show. And they, I felt like they were pretty tactful about the whole situation, and they did it in the off season, so it wouldn't create a mess in season. And I think Davis could have done a very similar thing this summer, where, you know, the Pelicans were lined up to offer him a $240 million Supermax extension. And, you know, he could have tactfully turned it down, and the whole world would have known that, hey, it's his time. He wants out.
Yeah, it feels like the whole thing just is saved if he just waits a little longer. And I just don't see the point. I think if there's a failure here, it is the timing. And it's like, it's Rich Paul, and maybe Anthony Davis wants to go to LA as bad as Rich Paul wants him to go to LA. I don't know. But it does feel like this we got to beat the Celtics offer before it gets to market. But like at the same time, if you're Rich Paul, and let's say Anthony Davis really doesn't want to go to Boston, like, aren't you still acting in the best interest of your client? I just don't know how to – I don't know that – I know I'm being like the worst kind of devil's advocate, which is not – proposing a solution, I genuinely don't understand what the right angle is.
How are you saying that? How are you guys saying that he was limiting with what teams he wanted to go to? There's 29 teams he'd love to be.
Yeah, he said, which his lack of capacity to understand that's worse. That's meaner.
It's way meaner.
I'd rather play in Greece than for you.
But no, when he was saying that on NBA TV, you could see Rich Paul frantically like looking around in the background like, oh, he's just said 29 teams. What did he say? I better go text Woj right now. No, he's not going to Boston.
Yeah, I'm still a little annoyed about I think you painted the whole Chris Paul picture in a little too positive of a light, because we were a Chris Paul telling the Golden State Warriors that I'm not going to opt into my next year if you trade for me, away from Sam and Andy not even being a thing, because the Hornets would have gotten Klay Thompson and Steph Curry in that
right
trade.
and they would still be Lakers fans.
Yeah.
Oh. Man, it's...
I don't think CP3 better has the same ring to it.
No, it really doesn't.
Can you imagine CP3 and Monta on the same team?
I would love to see the jumps in logic that Andy would make defending Chris Paul, though, in comparison to Steph Curry.
I actually go back to the Sam and Andy wouldn't exist, specifically Andy, because Andy's entire personality is driven by Steph's existence.
It's a miracle that
he's out 400 word recaps on Warriors World still.
it's a miracle that is a real human being. Like every time I get a Snapchat from him, even I'm like, oh my god! Like he's a cartoon. He is a cartoon come to life, and I love him for it.
He'd just be like a button down accountant if not for Steph Curry. Steph is his cocaine.
Well, that's a little racist, but continue.
What?
I'm kidding.
Disrespectful. Don't put me on. Don't put that on me. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. It's uncomfortable. It stinks. You know, we talked about it on the last spot. It does feel like I'm glad that the Pelicans are going to get something out of this. You know, like we traded Kyrie Irving and all Justin got was Colin Sexton in this T-shirt. So. And we got nothing for LeBron. You know, we just did the stupid dance where they couldn't quit. They couldn't stop trying, but also they couldn't commit all the way, so they had to play somewhere in the middle. I do think it's probably better that you're going to get something of value to kind of jumpstart your rebuild, because the worst part of any rebuild is the first year when your guy left and then you have nothing to even really work towards or look forward to. You don't think that's going to be the case for the Pelicans moving forward. Do you feel at least a little optimistic moving forward, like a little excited for like what a new look like?
Yeah. I mean, change is, I don't want to say change is always exciting, but it's
always interesting,
right? It's the whole, like, you know, a mystery box could be anything. A boat is a boat, and a mystery box could be anything, even a boat. And right now we have a mystery box in front of us, and that's primarily driven by the return Davis might fetch. And I think that's what...
I mean, I think you might have had the wrong takeaway from the mystery box parable from family.
Yeah, well, maybe I did. Maybe I messed that one up.
Yeah, it's... Now that they've gotten past the whole, you know, pushing of trying to get AD to the Lakers and resisting that offer that was kind of just very, very meh. I think now fans are more optimistic, because I think there are more ways it goes right than goes wrong at this point. I mean, comparatively speaking, of course, right? You still don't want to lose you never want to lose a player like Anthony Davis, obviously. But now, like, there's a perfect storm of a perfect shit storm where, like, they end up getting less than they expected from the Lakers for Anthony Davis. But I think that's a small chance. And there's a much, much better chance that they get a better package of assets than they would have before the deadline. But still, I mean, it's losing Anthony Davis. It's not great.
I still can't shake the idea, and I'm interested in how you guys would handle it. I just can't shake the idea that this is not going to play out the way we think it's going to. And by that, I mean a third team is going to come in out of nowhere.
My theory.
And just steal him this summer, and everyone's going to lose their fucking minds. What percent chance would you give it that neither the Celtics or Lakers end up with Davis?
So it has to be at least 14%, right? Because that's the Knicks' chance at Zion.
I see what you're doing there. I like that.
It has to be at least 14%. And then you want to add in whatever percent chance the Clippers have. And then whatever percent chance, I want to say Brooklyn as the other dark horse.
Clippers suddenly have a nice little war chest if the Celtics don't come to play with the best offer, or when what actually happens and will happen and Kyrie leaves.
I'm going to snap a little bit here. Like, I get that the Clippers have a lot of firsts. I guess it depends how you value them. But, like, I'm just not convinced that anything that they have actually matters.
Like, I'm just saying,
in comparison, like Clippers, I would take the Lakers offer.
Oh, come on. What I'm saying
SGA?
Is
SGA.
What?
SGA, Gilgeous, and
I don't care about him.
I like him, but like, I wanted the Cavs to take him over George Hill, Colin Sexton, but like, I think he's kind of like a George Hill type. Like, I don't think he's changing your franchise. He's not a franchise.
They do have role players you could flip into picks. So like, people would give up a pick for Lou Will. Someone would give up a pick for Montrezl Harrell.
Justin, the difference between those two offers is the Lakers gives you two bad firsts and a bunch of mediocre players you have to overpay. If else, the Clippers offer gives you the flexibility. They give you better picks and long-term flexibility where you're not trading into guys that will then ruin you.
Well, I guess it depends how many firsts you're giving up too, because like, LeBron's leaving the Lakers in 2 years. And if you're getting some firsts after that, like I would take that into consideration. So my dream Anthony Davis scenario, and I think this is a smart move, and I'm going to continue to be kind of the party pooper here, but I think that the Sixers should be selling high on Embiid's health and flipping him for AD. And
but that's not going to happen.
No, I think it should, though.
Like, what's gonna, though? Who is the team that really swoops in out of nowhere?
Okay, the Pelicans, instead of trading for that injured big man, they trade for another one in Zion.
It's just a grade one sprain.
Okay.
Just a grade one sprain.
I'm still terrified of Zion and his long-term health, but yeah, you guys can
take it. He's a perfect fit in New Orleans.
Exactly.
Well, they're really good at doing medicals on football players, so Zion will be great. They'll just tell him to rub some dirt in it and tell him to get out there. Is there a team that you guys have looked at? Because I'm sure you've scanned trade machine at every possible angle. Is there a team that you've looked at that can offer you something that may, if maybe that best Celtics offer doesn't come, that really leaps out at you that you think, oh, they could get in this if they really chose to throw their hat into the ring? I know a lot of people brought up the Nuggets. Feels ambitious, but I don't know. Who kind of jumps out to you guys?
Mason, do you have one?
Yeah, I mean, so you got to start at places where you, like, you take the AD comments with a, you know, giant grain of salt, because, like, I don't think he's going to stay anywhere. I mean, even if the team is...
It has to be a team that's willing to, like, that's cocky enough to think that they can keep him.
I got one for you.
Hit me.
Chicago.
They would do that.
Yeah, they
paid what? How many million to Dwayne Wade because he's from Chicago? How many million to Jabari Parker because he's from Chicago? They've always been interested in Jahlil Okafor because he's from Chicago. And now you're talking about bringing Anthony Davis, who already wears 23 and was like MJ everything, you know? And
they're dumb enough to think this could work for them.
No, yeah, they could talk themselves into restoring the franchise by bringing in Davis. And no,
they would offer it.
Yeah, and so, you know, they have their pick coming this year, which will probably land top five, may even be the Zion Williamson pick. They have Wendell Carter Jr. They have Lauri Markkanen. I mean, they have a, you know, a bushel of young guys. And, you know, Chris Dunn, he's not really a great player, but, you know, something to throw in for salary purposes if they want to. They want to get rid of Otto Porter's contract. There's something there. I mean, they have all kinds of weird little tools to get it done. And I do think they have the assets, depending on where their pick lands. I mean, like, Markkanen, Carter Jr. and their pick, that's a hell of a trade package.
Yeah, if Buddy Hill wasn't 40 years old, maybe even the Kings, they could talk
to something. Oh, Buddy. That is still one of the wildest stories. Like, I cannot get over the fact that he was lying about his age. And no, well, do we even consider it lying? Lying, right?
Oklahoma was reporting it as whatever.
It's 100% lying. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't think he noticed. And he was like, because he basically like, yeah, all of a sudden they just started listening as the wrong thing.
You can bet if he was
as though he couldn't have done anything about it.
Yeah, like if he was listed a year older than he actually was, you can bet your ass he would have said something instantly.
Yeah, that is a lie of omission if I've ever seen one.
It's not a lie if you don't bring it up.
It's not a lie if you believe it. He feels young at heart.
Do you guys think that the Pelicans would have done something different if they knew he was that age? Would they have drafted like Jamal Murray or something?
I think they have to know how old he was, because, as you know, he's an immigrant. He's from the Bahamas.
Yep,
correct. Yeah.
So he's from the Bahamas. You know, you have to file in any type of paperwork when you get hired by a new employer. You know, you go through your routine background checks, but also you have to have like a work visa and all of that. So to get the paperwork cleared, they had to have his passport. They had to have his documentation. They can't just be like, oh, well, his passport says this, but his mouth says this. Yeah, but
that's like HR. That's not, I mean, I could easily see a disconnect between your company's HR department and basketball ops, you know?
No, like 100. Like cutting players in half and counting the rings, like from going forward. Like,
wait, is that your Archer reference?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think anyone that's ever worked in an office setting can see how something like that would be overlooked. Man, it's just absolutely wild to me. Like, I saw that I think it was the Sacktown Bee did a victory lap over the DeMarcus Cousins trade, and that is some special revisionist history.
But I mean, I guess that's what we have to do almost. I was thinking about this with the IT Kyrie trade,
the Kings, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about everything about that trade and kind of. How it, I mean, a lot of people thought were surprised at what the Cavs got out of that deal.
Oh yeah, I have Kobe Altman.
Believe it, but you know what? Like, maybe all that matters is how it ends up playing out. And I think you have to make for the Pelicans because Boogie did get hurt. But mm-hmm. I mean the Kings. You know, we do have to give the Kings some credit because they really did believe in Buddy Hield. What was it? Tall like Clay, but shoots like Steph. What is
big
it?
Big like Steph. No, big like Clay, shoots like Steph.
That was Stauskas, though. That wasn't Buddy.
Oh, that was Stauskas.
Yeah, but the meme applies. It's ubiquitous.
Yeah, true. Man, I'm glad that Stauskas wasn't involved in the Jordan Clarkson, Tristan Thompson situation.
Oh my gosh.
Not all Canadians. I need one to not lean all. Back on. Oh man. So what do you guys think? Like, have you guys transitioned into looking into lottery prospects, like just both for potentially, hey, we might get one of these guys for Anthony Davis, or with our own pick, because with the new flattened lottery odds, basically no matter where the Pelicans land, they're going to have a shot at a pick. Have you guys kind of transitioned into draft mode there?
Honestly, outside of the top five, I haven't really, just because I've spent entirely too much time fantasizing about jumping into the top five or trading for one of those guys with the Knicks or, you know, whoever. So no, I can't say I've looked, you know, in the mid lottery, like the 10th, 11th position where the Pelicans would land. I know like of a couple guys, and I think DeAndre Hunter is a name that frequently pops up, but I feel like only reason he pops up is because he's a, you know, 6'7" wing that the Pelicans have always wanted. So everyone's like, yeah, we should get this guy.
This is why it's such bullshit that they have to play Davis. Like, they have currently, I want to say it, they're the eighth worst record in the league right now. Just behind the Mavericks and the odds, or I guess ahead of the Mavericks and the odds, they have a worse record. But the jump for, and they really could make a pretty big jump. They're only four games behind three behind the Grizzlies to move into sixth. And when you're getting that high, now you're starting to really play for it. It just feels so stupid that if Anthony Davis wins them a single game, they're aggressively fucking themselves here. I don't understand.
We've beaten the Rockets. We've beaten the Wolves. We've beat the Thunder already. It's like, what's going on? What are we doing here?
Hey, we beat the Rockets too. We beat the Rockets and Sixers on back-to-back nights.
Yeah, we actually beat the Rockets to take some L's so we can get their first-round pick gets better.
Weird stuff happens, man. I remember the year, and I know you guys are very familiar with winning the lottery, but I remember the one year that the Pelican or the Hornets at the time did. I remember this one game specifically when Marco Bellinelli made just – I was furious that he made this game-winning layup and like that it hurt the team's odds. And they, I mean, the slot that they ended up in and flip of a coin with you guys, I think, end up with the Anthony Davis pick. So
I was about to bring that up, that we didn't actually have great lottery odds. We didn't have great lottery luck because we won a coin toss and it got us Dion Waiters instead of Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but then, you know, you guys got Kyrie and Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And awesome.
We managed to flip Dion for an entire supporting cast. Shout out to David Griffin. And instead of hanging on to Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, we traded them for Kevin Love. So that worked out pretty well.
Sheesh.
You got to know when to sell high. You absolutely got to know when to sell high.
It's causing me anxiety, but also it's not, because it doesn't really matter. You know, like, these flowers so dampening to my spirit that it's like, well, I guess whatever. We should just win as many games as we can because it doesn't matter. Plus, they're not going to catch the Hawks. So they're going to be finishing in the top four. Are you guys rooting for the Pelicans to lose?
I can't say, like, I ever feel comfortable rooting for the Pelicans to lose.
You know why? You know why, Shemek? Because you're not a loser. It's exhausting.
I mean, like, it's not something I'm gonna cry over if they do lose,
of course, you know?
But I'm not gonna actively be rooting for it. I'm actually rooting for some of the young players to just be better, and I want to see more of you know, Kenrich Williams and Frank Jackson. Like, we don't have many of them, but I want to see them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd rather see the team win than lose every game by 25 points. Like, that's just no fun for anybody. So
yeah, like, for me the biggest thing is, it depends how the wins are coming. Like, if Jetty Osman is having a great game, or if Colin Sexton's having a great game, like, that's, and yeah, if it results in a win, that's a lot of fun. Like, I will absolutely take that. And as Carter said, like, there's just no way to know what the lottery odds right now. Like, is it, we don't know if a win or a loss would be better. And I just, what's going to drive me absolutely insane is, let's say the Cavs finish with the fourth worst record, and the third worst record is the one that jumps up, and people will point to that and be like, hey, see, that was the one that they should have got to. And maybe the fourth pick is the one that jumps to first. And then people point out, oh, well, the Cavs, they should have won a couple games and got to that position. Like, there's just no way to know how this is going to go. Like, every single tankathon simulation I run is just a total damn crapshoot. I've seen the Pelicans jump up to the first pick as many times as I've seen the Cavs. Like, there's just no way to know how this
is going to go. Get into existence.
I have a I had a sad moment at work yesterday, Justin. We were talking about, I was explaining to my coworkers that every NBA player is cheating on their wife, like, almost across the board.
Right.
And certainly every member of the Cavs. And then I said, except Jetty, because he's so pure. And I swear to God, I got nothing but blank stares back from a bunch of Cavs fans. And they're like, who's Jetty?
Oh, no. No, I don't want to hear that.
Well, how horrible is that? He's our third best player.
Oh, man. Shout out to Jetty. Another good game. He's just killing it with Kevin Love. Any game he plays with Kevin Love, I'm just convinced he's Turkish LeBron. That's the real value of keeping Love right now.
Yeah, he's been amazing whenever he's been healthy and playing with Love. The three-point percentage goes up a point per game at this point. It's been really, really fun. Also, we talked about in the last pod about, you know, whether we'd want to trade Love or Drew or anything like that between the two fan bases. I can confirm I had a dream a couple nights ago that the Cavs had traded Kevin Love for two first round picks. I was kind of sad about it. So,
to who?
Love. That's the story. That's the moral.
Yeah, but to who?
Like,
it didn't matter.
You open your eyes and you just had this feeling of sadness that you couldn't pinpoint. Like, what?
No, I specifically, it was
to the Warriors, clearly, because it was the end of the first round.
I had a dream that I was in a room where the draft lottery was taking place, and also the draft for some reason.
Oh yeah, and you were telling me about this.
Yeah, and the Cavs had the third pick. The Sixers had the second for some reason, which didn't really make sense because they can only get the the King's pick if it's the first. But I was just kind of waiting to see whether or not they took R.J. Barrett, and then it just never happened. For whatever reason, that pick doesn't happen.
That's okay, Justin. Do you guys ever dream about the Pelicans, or are Justin and I certified psychos?
No, definitely. I have some very weird dreams. I feel like, I don't know, maybe like 30, 40% of the time, I'm a lucid dreamer.
Oh, wow. And Kylie's like that, my wife.
Yeah, it's weird because like I'll find myself in like Pelicans games and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to dunk the ball. And then, you know, I start living out the Dwayne Wade game still. Moments.
Even dream me can't fathom being in an NBA game.
No, it's yeah. And then there was another time I had a dream that I was Anthony Davis's best friend, and like we were hanging out and doing some, I don't know, friend stuff.
And just like trimming each other's eyebrows and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know.
You know what I was thinking about? Speaking of the brow, someone posted some like picture of like their like shirts the Pelicans sent out for like his MVP campaign last year, and it was like a thing of his logo, or like it was like MVP with like the brow over the text. And I just thought, how fucking stupid is it that we just all accepted that a unibrow was an okay marketing technique? He looks like a moron.
I mean,
like at least a beard is like weird and unique and kind of hard to grow. Like a unibrow is uniformly a thing that we make fun of.
Yeah, you know what? He's kind of in that Kawhi Leonard camp of he wants to be a star, but I don't know if he's got the personality to carry it.
I remember.
Oh, man, are you going to tune in to HBO's The Shop?
Absolutely not. But I want to add, so be honest with me, guys. When Gillette did that April Fool's prank where he shaved his unibrow, except didn't, did you believe it for a minute? And were you kind of relieved that he looked like a normal human being?
I did not believe it, but I will say that he looked pretty solid. For
he looked like a normal person who's right. Taking care of himself. What are you doing, oh man? God. Oh. Your face. This isn't a brand. No one's buying your gear because of the unibrow thing.
Well, the thing was, I didn't believe it.
Doesn't have to do this anymore, is my point.
I didn't believe it because if you're going to make that type of a choice with your facial hair, you should at least use Harry's razors. Like that would be all I would trust it with.
I had my first Harry's experience this morning. It was dope.
Yeah. And especially when you can go to harrys.com/bluewire and get a free trial and just pay for like $3 for shipping. Like that's how you make a life altering.
Don't even throw the ad read over it. That's how smooth that was.
No, I mean, we don't have to do a read this week, but
we're just proselytizing.
Yeah.
Just for the love of the game.
Yeah.
Just pull out chills at this point.
Do you guys like doing the ad reads?
I think we have some fun with it. It's just like the first time I was reading it, and I was trying very hard not to crack up, and it didn't come out very well. But
that one was the best one and also the worst one because it was by far the longest read.
It was like a 4-minute read.
Like that read, but 30 seconds would have been just fine.
That read was the plot of episode one. Like, I don't know, Justin, I feel like you're warming up to them because I feel like they were causing you some anxiety early on, but you're slowing down, you're enjoying them, you're letting them breathe a little bit more.
That was the main thing. It was you giving me the insight of, hey, slow down, where I'm like, I'm just going to ram my way through this. I'm going to go as quickly as possible.
You gotta let them breathe.
Yeah,
that also, like, I feel like gives the viewer or your listener a little like, he gets it. He's doing an ad read. Because the worst thing you'd be is like Woj and on his pod where you're like pretending like you like it's a live read, even though it's clearly not. Hey, Shane, let me just take a minute to tell. Do you ever not be able to get boners?
Go to Viagra.com/Woj.
I'm really waiting. I want
the ED read.
I want it so bad.
I want it more than
just
I want.
You did a life insurance
else for the pod. We're
getting pretty close.
Yeah. I want to transition from erectile dysfunction to life insurance. Like,
you know what, the
if you get a boner that lasts more than 6 hours, get life insurance.
Transition is like, listen, if you're still rock hard after 12 hours and you don't think you've got much time left,
either call Ethos or Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, we should wrap, huh?
That's probably a good place to wrap it up at. Well, this was a weird but enjoyable episode. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Really do appreciate it. I feel like it's a weird time because with the All-Star break, there just wasn't really a whole lot going on for our teams. And to just kind of talk about the Anthony Davis situation, which unfortunately for you guys is still probably the biggest topic. And it's going to be a bigger topic, even though there's no chance for anything to happen. It's going to be a bigger topic than the finals because everyone's going to be looking at what happens with Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Like, the transaction is the sexiest part of the NBA, and all the negative that comes with it, we just kind of have to deal with it. So thank you so much to Mason. Thank you to Schmidt as well. I want to make sure to shout out both podcasts. Make sure you guys are subscribing, leaving a rating, leave a review. It is the best way to support both podcasts. Even if you don't want to go listen to either of our podcasts, just still leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, cook those books. And if you want to be part of the Chase Down Discord chat, our exclusive Discord, just send a screenshot of the review that you leave on iTunes to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will be more than happy to send you a link. So until next time, go Cavs.